This is Dr. Rob Stahl, and welcome to What Should You Expect at Your Age? The answer to that question is a lot, and older adults and caregivers shouldn't settle for less. This is Labor Day, September 6, 2004. This show is a highlight show of the programs from July and August. Currently, I'm on the road returning from Cooperstown, New York, where I visited the National Baseball Hall of Fame with my family. I hope you enjoy the show.
When I get older, losing my hair, many years from now, will you still be sending me a Valentine? Birthday greetings, bottle of wine. If I'd been out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
This is Dr. Rob Stahl, and welcome to What Should You Expect at Your Age? I decided to put together this program as an experiment to see whether radio could be an effective way to present important and practical information about geriatric health and maybe even help a few listeners. Features will include discussion of key medical issues of aging, how medications can be used, misused, and abused, the importance of treating disease and dis-ease, the subtlety and destructiveness of ageism, prejudice toward older people, the meaning of sudden or chronic health changes, the cardinal goals of maximizing quality of life and functional ability, the significance of maintaining hope, there's always something that can help, and what older adults and caregivers should expect with aging. I would like to start with a short story I often tell to my patients. A patient once came to me who was about to turn 100 years old. She had pain in her right knee. I asked her what she thought was wrong. "What do you expect at my age?" she demanded. "How is your left knee?" "Just fine, thank you," she replied. "Then why doesn't your left knee hurt? Isn't it the same age as your right?" Her face brightened and understood what I meant. "Think about it often. I do. It reminds me there is always something that can be done to help, even in extreme old age."
The following is a list of some of the things you should expect as you get older, read by my patient, Mr. John Schulterer, 75 years young.
9 expectations for older adults. You should expect to be listened to, valued, and respected. You should expect knowledgeable and compassionate health care. You should expect to be as pain-free as possible and to be given medications that will only make you feel better, not worse. You should expect never to be abandoned or forgotten. You should expect not to live a life of loneliness or depression. You should expect never to be the object of prejudice or abuse. You should expect to get the help you need to live life to the fullest. You should expect to live up to your potential and have hope for the future. And lastly, you should expect never to be taken advantage of except for your talents, knowledge, and wisdom.
Doctor, we do have a caller on the line.
Okay, we'll take that call. This is Dr. Stahl.
Hello, Dr. Stahl.
Yes.
I would like some information pertaining to medication. If people are on Coumadin, what causes the welts that come on them and bloody noses?
That's a very important question, and it's a very common thing for someone to be on Coumadin, which is the brand name for the drug warfarin, W-A-R-F-A-R-I-N. That's an anticoagulant drug that's used mainly in 3 circumstances. 1, atrial fibrillation, when the heart is not beating regular, and also when you have a clot, usually in your leg. In addition, with the advent of many people getting orthopedic surgery, it is often used after orthopedic surgery to prevent clots from developing in a patient's leg. Now, the welts that you described may very easily go along with a side effect, or not even a side effect, the fact of the effect of the drug. If you bump yourself, your blood is less likely to clot immediately.
and you might get a little bit of bleeding under your skin, and that resulting in a bruise.
For the longest while, I forget to smile, then I melt. Now that my blue days have passed, now
I would now like to play excerpts from the guest interviews last week. We first heard from Miss Dorothy Eshelman, a talented 96-year-old who played for us her bells and piano.
Beethoven would have been proud of you.
I don't know, but he'd like it.
Baseball's my favorite. You must have read my mind. Well, maybe next time we'll catch you playing some piano. How's that sound?
Okay.
Now, I didn't want to ask, but you wanted to tell me how old you were.
I am 96. I will be 97 in 2 months.
God bless you. Keep up the good work.
I shall try.
This has been Miss Dorothy Eshelman.
Right.
My friend, my patient, and a wonderful musician.
I am very pleased to present esteemed local actor Mr. Saul Elkin with Shakespeare's The Seven Ages of Man.
So The Seven Ages of Man, from As You Like It. All the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players. They have their exits and their entrances, and one man at his time plays many parts, his acts being seven ages. At first, the infant mewling and puking in the nurse's arms. And then the whining schoolboy with his satchel and shining morning face creeping like snail unwillingly to school. And then the lover sighing like furnace with a woeful ballad made to his mistress' eyebrow. Then a soldier full of strange oaths and bearded like the pard, jealous in honor, sudden and quick in quarrel, seeking the bubble reputation even in the cannon's mouth. And then the justice in fair round belly with good cape unlined, with eyes severe and beard of formal cut, full of wise saws and modern instances. And so he plays his part. The sixth age shifts into the lean and slippered pantaloon, with spectacles on nose and pouch on side, his youthful hose well saved, a world too wide for his shrunk shank, and his big manly voice turning again toward childish treble, pipes and whistles in his sound. Last scene of all that ends this strange, eventful history is second childishness and mere oblivion, sans teeth, sans eyes, sans taste, sans everything.
Now, I have a few surprises.
Okay.
That you can or don't have to read if you don't want to.
All right.
Let's start with this one, and it's entitled The Golden Years. And it's anonymous. We don't know who wrote it.
The golden years have come at last. I cannot see, I cannot pee, I cannot chew, can't tie my shoe. My muscles lost their flex, sure can't have sex. My memory shrinks, my hearing stinks, no sense of smell, I look like hell. My body's drooping, got trouble pooping. The golden years have come at last. The golden years. Ooh, what a blast.
And that's great. A heck of a lot better than I could have done, I'll tell you that.
Well
that's
that was fun.
That's for all time. And that'll go on the show.
Oh, right.
And on the web. And who knows, that might be your ticket to world fame.
Oh,
if you're
yes.
Not world famous
right.
Already.
Well, I don't know about that.
This is my last surprise reading.
Okay.
And if you like these, I'll find more for you, and we'll get together some other
Stuff. Absolutely.
Now, this is a news flash, so you have to read it as a news flash.
Okay. Seniors are the nation's leading carriers of AIDS. Hearing aids, Band-Aids, Rolaids, walking aids, medical aids, government aids, and most of all, monetary aids to their kids.
It's not time to make a change. Just relax, take it easy. You're still young, that's your fault. There's so much you have to know. Find a girl, settle down. If you want, you can marry. Look at me, I am old, but I'm happy. I was once like you are now, and I know that it's not easy.
All right, you have had time to think about it. What's been your most embarrassing moment?
How about when I met my husband, I threw up on him.
Waking up and not knowing where I was.
When my pants fell down.
When I caught a big wave and came to the shore this once, I lost my whole bathing suit. I thanked the wrong guy for flowers.
That was embarrassing.
Oh, I thought, yeah.
You're a comedian.
They didn't know about each other till then.
All right, spring break in high school. I went into the room to take a shower, and my buddies let all these women into the room while I was in there, and I came out with nothing on. They're all sitting in there laughing.
Well, so what do you make of that? Just in a minute or two, what's the punchline of this embarrassment exercise?
Well, it actually puts a person in a very vulnerable position when they're talking about their most embarrassing moments in their life. And when I was doing the exercise with the students and also with the employees, the prospective employees, I wanted them to feel vulnerable and experience what it meant to feel vulnerable amongst strangers and to relate that to the people that they would be caring for so that they would be sensitive to the vulnerability of the people that were coming into the nursing home because they were going to experience all of those things from having an accident in their pants to not hearing, what do you like, a cup of tea? No, I don't want to plant the tree.
Not remembering. Not recognizing are things that people with dementia, Alzheimer's disease experience. So the exercise was to bring out things that are embarrassing as youngsters.
Yes.
Older people experience even more frequently. And does it keep them from doing the things that they want to do? We do have a caller. And I think this caller is even from Florida. Yes, you're on the air, live.
Hello, Dr. Stahl.
Hi, I recognize this voice.
You do?
That's one of the grandmas, I think.
Oh, you've been listening to it for 47 years, right?
That's right. What can I do for you, Mom? Thanks for calling.
Okay, this is my problem. With a sciatic nerve. I don't have it when I walk, and I don't have it when I exercise. But when I drive my car, it's down my right leg, and the pain shoots down all the way into my calf. And I wonder if there's any exercises or anything that could be done for it.
What you're describing is fairly classical sciatica symptoms. I do want to mention that there's another problem that causes low back pain and pain into the leg that, unlike what you described, where you have the pain when you're sitting, this pain occurs when people are standing and
mm-hmm.
walking
right.
and actually gets better when they sit down or bend over, such as when they ride a bicycle or something like that. And that's pain caused by spinal stenosis. Let's put the ways to approach this into several specific categories. You can use what's called conservative approaches. From there, I had to have an epidural injection. I also went for physical therapy.
People
people who need people. Oh, the luckiest people.
Now, my guest today is Pam Krawczyk, Commissioner of Erie County Senior Services. Welcome, Pam.
Good afternoon, Dr. Stahl. Thank you for inviting me to be here today.
The theme, we're calling it, what are the major issues confronting older adults today, with a focus on our community, Western New York, and we hope to leave you with three take-home messages. Older people can get sick from specific problems. Well, they do get sick from specific problems, not just old age, and that alludes to the issue of ageism, prejudice towards older people. Number two, there is always something that can be done to help, and help is available. And three, it's better to seek help sooner than later. And that's what we hope to emphasize in this show, the wide range of things out there that can help older people and the people that care about them, caregivers and others, even health professionals, to help their patients lead a happier and healthier life. The number at Erie County Department of Senior Services, this is the number to remember, the central information and referral number, 858-8526.
You need to have high expectations for yourself, and you can do things to prevent that. And I think a lot of times people don't think about taking preventive measures and in starting now, even for caregivers. You know, when you're in your 40s and 50s, I mean, there are things that you can do to improve your health and well-being so that your golden years will actually be golden.
Name one thing that people can get started on today, and then we'll dedicate a future show to all the different things, or at least some of the many things that can be done to help prevent problems from occurring.
It's basically making one change. I mean, we all make those New Year's resolutions. I would say, you know, and everybody at January 1st is going to quit smoking, lose weight, you know, get more exercise. Take one of those items. For seniors, I really try to say, just be a little more active. Rather than being the couch potato, just start taking some measure, either, you know, walking a little bit further, you know, putting down the remote. And
we want to see those malls filled up with mall walkers,
mm-hmm.
and not just the few hardy souls that are out there, though I think there are more and more.
Yeah. We started a wellness program with the TheraBands, the exercise rubber bands, which they're using in physical therapy,
right.
And we've got about 1,200 seniors now participating at a variety of dining sites. We have our own Mr. Fitness, who's like the Jack LaLanne in Erie County, Richard Durwald, and he's going out.
I have to give him a call.
He's
Mr. Fitness, that sounds great.
Yeah, he's 70 years old, and he's a county employee.
We'll take one more quick call, and then we're going to have to start wrapping up for today. And let's take that call.
Hi, Carl, you're on the air.
This will be a quick call, I promise. I think, Pam, you know who this is.
Mr. Fitness.
Mr. Fitness himself.
That's
okay.
Right. You know, this was a great show today. I heard the show from the beginning until the end. And Pamela says something that sometimes she considers senior services to be one of the best-kept secrets. And I think the last hour today, I think, told a lot of people in the community about a lot of the services that we do have available.
So what can you tell us, Mr. Fitness? What's the take-home message we
you? I think you've already stole my message, Doctor. I think the message is that we've had great success working in a social environment. That is, the people working out, exercising with their own peer groups, it's very, very stimulating.
Right.
The social aspect is just terrific. And we really have an awful lot of people out there actively participating all over Erie County in this strength and fitness program that we have.
Well, thanks for calling. It's good to hear your voice, and I hope to meet you sometime, Mr. Fitness.
Okay. Thank you, Doctor.
Okay. What's your first name?
Richard.
Mr. Richard Fitness.
Yes.
Okay. There you have it, everyone.
Okay. Thank you.
I'll be loving you always with a love that's true always.
When the things you plan need a helping hand, I will. Always, always.
The topic for today's program is memory problems and Alzheimer's disease. What can be done about them? And I have Leilani Pelletier, the program director of the Alzheimer's Association of Western New York, as my guest today. Welcome.
Thanks, Dr. Stahl. It's a pleasure to be here.
The following is a list of some of the things you should expect as you get older. And my guest for today, Leilani Pelletier from the Alzheimer's Association of Western New York, will help me read the 9 expectations for older adults. Number 1, you should expect to be listened to, valued, and respected.
You should expect knowledgeable and compassionate health care.
You should expect to be as pain-free as possible and to be given medications that will only make you feel better, not worse.
You should expect never to be abandoned or forgotten.
You should expect not to live a life of loneliness or depression.
You should expect never to be the object of prejudice or abuse.
You should expect to get the help you need to live life to the fullest.
You should expect to live up to your potential and have hope for the future.
And lastly, you should expect never to be taken advantage of, except for your talents, knowledge, and wisdom. The 3 take-home messages, and I think we agree that these are valid and important. If you can just get this out of today, then maybe in the future we can follow up with some more specifics. But these are the 3. 1, not all memory problems are from Alzheimer's disease. 2, there are many approaches and resources that can improve the lives of both patients and caregivers dealing with dementia. And 3, don't wait to get the help you need.
Ask about people who have long passed away,
yeah.
And you don't know if you should deal with it like you're giving them fresh information, because when you say, oh, that person has passed away like 10 years ago, and they seem so shocked and astounded, I don't know if I should play along with what they're thinking.
It won't hurt them. It won't hurt a person to use what's called a validation theory, which is just to go along. You don't have to say that they've gone if you expect that there'll be a shocked or an upset reaction. What you can say is, if they say, I miss Joe, you know, tell me about, where's Joe? I miss Joe. Or where's Mom? One of the things that you can say to them is, I haven't seen Mom or Joe. I miss him. Boy, she, you know, her apple pies, I miss those. You know, you can talk about something about the person without having to say they're gone or they're here. And many people find it difficult to do what they consider to be lying.
Yeah.
They don't want to mislead them or make the problem worse. Actually, what you're doing is just opening them up to share what they're feeling.
And I remember my grandmother had several strokes, and it affected her ability to think and remember people, including all of us. And we did just the wrong thing. I was still in grade school, and my parents would take us in, and we'd say, hi, Grandma, how are you? It's Rob. It's your daughter. Don't you recognize us? And that was, you know, just the wrong thing to do, because she couldn't recognize us. And it only added stress and anxiety when she was trying to grasp for something that she wasn't able to.
Down a long, dusty driveway, this time we both would go. For he had grown old and gray, and his mind was a-wandering. Daddy took me by the hand, said I know where we're going and I understand. Don't worry, boy, it'll be alright. Cause I took this walk, you're walking.
Still feed me when I'm 64.
64, oh my God.
Good afternoon. This is Dr. Rob Stahl. Today is Monday, August 9th, 2004. We have 4 ladies in the studio. They're dressed in purple and red. Purple and red. We have red hats on the blouses. We have red hats on the heads. We have ladies that are members of the Red Hat Society. Several Red Hat societies are represented here today. The theme of today's show is Fun and Friendship After 50 Years Old.
Now, three take-home messages for today. One, try to bring fun into your life. Two, it's people that makes the world go round. And three, you don't have to act your age. Ruby Red Hat's 10 Rules for Living plus one is what both groups try to live by. Now, I went through the first six earlier, and I'll just read those again. Accept reality and live in the here and now. Two, accentuate the positive. Three, nurture yourself. Four, indulge your sense of humor. Five, play. Six, dress up. Now, here's seven through ten, and then plus one. Seven, cultivate an openness to new things. Eight, express your creativity. 9. Exercise compassion. 10. Have courage. And 11. Make up for the sobriety of your youth. Now, we don't have to go into whether everyone's youth was necessarily sober or not. I won't ask you that. But let me play another quick segment, which is an interview I had with several patients. And what I do with my patients, generally each time they come in, is I ask them on a scale of 1 to 10, where 1 is the pits or terrible, and 10 is great, how is your life right now? And this is what some of my patients said a few weeks ago.
Now, on a scale of 1 to 10, where 1 is the pits or terrible, and 10 is great, how do you feel today?
Right now, I feel 8.5.
8.5. Okay.
Right.
How do we get it to a 9 or a 9.5?
Well, if you can control my involuntary tremors a little bit, and if you could do something for my eyes, then I would be a 10.
Great.
Can you give it a number?
10.
10?
Mm-hmm.
You can't feel any better, huh?
Mm-mm.
Feel probably about a 7.
All right, how can I help you get it to an 8?
Find out what's disturbing my sleep.
Okay, well, let's talk about that.
Oh, I think maybe 7.
7? Okay.
Yeah. How today, but in the morning, I feel like maybe 4.
Well, a 5 or 6.
Anything I can do to help make it a 7?
Not that I know of.
All right, why is it only a 5 or 6 and not a 10?
Well, I don't think my life is perfect, and I don't think much of life is perfect. And
what would you consider a 10, a life that's a 10?
I don't have any idea. I've never thought about life that much.
Would it be like when you were 20 years old, would you say your life was a 10?
Not necessarily. It's been ordinary all my life.
So you would have considered it a 5 or 6 back then, too?
5 or 6, yes.
Half and half. The upper half is 10.
Okay.
The bottom half is 1.
You feel great. So would that be a 10 or a 9? 10 means you're perfect.
Nobody is perfect.
Okay.
So let it be a 9.
Okay, it's a 9. How can I help you to try to get to be a 10? Is it getting these medication orders straightened out with the with
yes.
AARP?
Yes.
Oh, 8, I guess. I feel okay.
All right. Now,
I'm not sick today.
Okay, good. And now, how can I help you to get that to a 9? You have a list. Now, on a scale of 1 to 10, where 1 is the pits, or terrible, and 10 is great, how would you say you feel today?
Absolutely 10.
10?
Without any
okay.
question.
How can I help you to get to an 11?
To an 11? By just talking to me, if I can go up to 25.
Ah, yes. See what talking does for people. I once had a patient call and leave a message for me, and she said, Doctor, what I need, and she was going to say she needed some medications, but instead she said, Doctor, what I need is you, but I can't have you, so can you please call in these medications for me? And then I had another lady that, these are true stories, a 90-some-odd-year-old lady who I saw for the first time, and we're talking, and she said, Doctor, you have good bedside manner. And I said, I've never been to your bedside. And she said, you could come anytime.
Hey.
We're children
acting more like children than children.
My guests on today's show are Carl and Tina Fiebelkorn, pharmacist from the UB School of Pharmacy. It's great to have you here, and what we hope to do is leave you with three take-home messages. Number one, medications can help you live longer and healthier. Two, medications can make you miserable. And three, keep your pharmacist and doctor informed about all the medications you are taking, including prescription, over-the-counter, and herbal remedies. To get us in the mood, let's first listen to a hit song from 1959, Love Potion Number 9.
She's got a pad on 34th and Vine, selling little bottles of Love Potion Number 9. I told her that I was a flop with chicks. I've been this way since 1956. She looked at my palm and she made a magic sign. She said, what you need is Love Potion Number 9.
First, let's listen to some comments from my patients about medications they have taken.
Now, of all the medications that you've taken in your life, is there one that's helped you the most?
No, I don't think so.
Is there one that's hurt you the most, or that you're sorry you started taking it?
I don't think so. Took Basodec, and that was bad for me. I stopped urinating. That doesn't sound very nice, but that's what happened.
Well, the Sinopril took away my taste buds. That's why I hate it. Can't taste my food anymore. But I take my medicine, and I eat my food, even though it all tastes like oatmeal.
I don't think you ever told me that.
Over-the-counter, CoQ10. When I started to take that, I just kind of perked up and felt so much more alive. I just felt so good. Extract Alpha, I think they called it.
Okay.
And it was to perk you up or make you think better or whatever when I took it. And since I've stopped it, I'll never stop thanking you because it just turned me around again.
Well, the Lipitor has definitely brought my cholesterol down.
This Aspex helps me, helps my stomach, and I don't know whether the Bextra helps me or not. That's what I'd like to know.
A tremendous prescription for me is called Actos. Since I'm diabetic, evidently Actos tends to make your pancreas produce more of its own insulin. That's my understanding. Since I've been on Actos, my readings every morning are between 85 and 105, exactly where I want to be.
Sleeping pills and pain pills.
What's happened with those?
The next morning I think I'm going to die. I don't think I'm going to live. You know, they just knock me out. They just make me feel all gone.
And she said that it's very good. Lutein helps with stabilizing your macular degeneration. And they prescribe Periodent, and I take that twice a day.
My shepherd takes them because she likes them. I've had no problems all my life.
What do you think about medications in general?
Frequently they're unnecessary and many times they shouldn't be taken, probably.
Well, there you have it. There's quite a potpourri of issues that were discussed there. And any comments offhand?
Well, a lot of medications you take for a lot of different conditions, chronic conditions, they're supposed to help enhance the quality of life. And a lot of the people I noticed when they were talking on this little mini interview had mentioned they were having other problems. I picked up on a lady with the sleep medications and the pain medications, and she's probably having an additive effect to all the adverse reactions of those. So she was saying that she was having real problems staying alert.
Well, I also think the other thing is that you have to think about is whether or not the drug, the benefits of the drug outweigh the risks. Definitely, if it doesn't enhance your quality of life, then you really need to talk to your physician and pharmacist about whether or not this is appropriate drug for your condition.
Hello!
Today's show is entitled The Politics of Aging. To discuss this topic and to answer your questions, I have in the studio today a very distinguished guest, former mayor of Buffalo and current Buffalo councilman, Mr. James Donald Griffin. Welcome, Mr. Griffin.
Thanks for the invitation.
Well, I have several questions that I hope we can cover in the next hour. Let's start with the first. Can you tell us what a typical day is like for a 75-year-old husband, grandfather, and community representative?
Well, first of all, when I get out of bed, I thank the good Lord, and I usually come out of bed around 6 or 6:30 every morning, sometimes a little earlier, but that's about my start of the day, and I start with about 12 minutes of exercises, some push-ups, some sit-ups, bending, and things like that. Then I always have a pretty good breakfast, and then we...
Now, what is that breakfast comprised
well,
of?
I should say like Wheaties, because my Uncle Jim retired from General Mills, and my brother Tom, and I worked at General Mills, and then I worked on a Buffalo Creek pulling and spotting the cars over there. My brother-in-law worked at General Mills, but I like cornflakes. Our police commissioner, Ralph Dagenhart, his wife is in the nursing home, and she's a beautiful woman, June. And they did an awful lot for me, the both of them. And he was a hell of a commissioner, I'll tell you, he's the best. And we were talking the other day about getting old, and he said, you know, the golden age. He says, the only thing golden about the golden age is the color of your urine. that is true in a lot of cases.
Now, you brought some things along with you, including, I think, some jokes from a church bulletin and a poem. So why don't you pick what you like and read some to
okay,
us.
Okay, well, here's the one about seniors enlist. Dear Armed Forces, where do we sign up? We said if we could, we'd enlist today and help our country track down those responsible for killing thousands of innocent people in New York City and Washington, D.C. But we're all over 60 now, and the armed forces say, we're too old to track down terrorists. You can't be older than 35 to join the Army. They've got the whole things backward. Instead of sending 18-year-olds off to fight, they ought to take us old guys. You shouldn't be able to join until you're at least 35. It says, an 18-year-old doesn't like to get up before 10 a.m. Old guys get up early just to show we can, and to steal the neighbor's newspaper and pee. If old guys are captured, we couldn't spill the beans because we'd probably forget what we put where we put them. In fact, name, rank, and serial number would be a real brain teaser. Boot camp would actually be easier to us old guys. We're used to getting screamed and yelled at, and we actually like soft food. We've also developed a deep appreciation for guns and rifles. We like them almost better than naps. The Army could lighten up on the obstacle course, however. I've been to the desert and didn't see a single 20-foot wall with the rope hanging over the side. I can hear the drill sergeant now. Get down and give me or one. And the running part is kind of a waste of energy. I've never seen anyone outrun a bullet. An 18-year-old has the whole world ahead of him. He's still learning to shave, to actually carry on a conversation, to wear pants without the top of the butt crack showing and the boxer shorts sticking out, to learn that a pierced tongue catches food particles and a 200-watt speaker in the backseat of a Honda Accord can rupture an eardrum. All great reasons to keep our sons at home and to learn a little more about life before sending them off to a possible death. Let us old guys track down those dirty, rotten cowards who attacked our hearts on September 11th. The last thing they want to see now is a couple of million old farts with attitudes. Can I bring my golf clubs?
That is great. Well, let's take a short break, and we'll continue after that.
The way she wears her hat, the way she sips her tea, the memory of all that. No, 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 they can't take that away from me. The way her smile just be.
Today's show is entitled Perspectives on Getting Older. To discuss this topic and to answer your questions, I have in the studio today two very near and dear special people. It is my pleasure now to introduce Mr. and Mrs. Albert and Dara Stahl, my parents, as my very special guests for today. Hi, Mom.
Hello.
Hi, Dad.
Hi. Very nice to be here.
Now, you planned on joining me today as observers, but instead I put you in the hot seats.
Here we are.
And I'm so glad you agreed.
Okay.
I'd like to take a trip down memory lane in the next hour, talking with you about your lives, how you handled difficult times related to illness of friends and family, how you think about getting older, what plans you have for the future, and finally, how you hope to be remembered. Let's start with one question I've always wanted to ask both of you. As you know, my birthday is May 11th, 1957. My brother Brian, your second son, his birthday is May 11th, 1959. And my youngest brother, Billy, your third son, his birthday is May 10th, 1963. He missed May 11th by 4 hours, with the doctor rushing things along, apparently because he had to get to a wedding. That's how he was pushed back to May 10th. Now, I want to ask you, how exactly did this happen? Was this some kind of family planning?
Well,
was there something about August in New York City that was special?
No, it was vacation time.
Ah.
We were always away on vacation, and we were relaxed, having fun, and I guess we made babies.
What better time is there to do that, right?
Okay, I won't go into it any further about what happened during the rest of the year or that sort of thing. So
once a year.
I didn't know if it was the once a year thing or what.
No, actually, it was not planned. It just happened that way.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, I just want to, you know, get that off my chest and ask you that one. Now, one other question I've always wanted to ask you. When I was in my early teens, you gave me a book on sex education, and you told me to read it, and then you would ask me questions about it. I read the book with great interest, but always dreaded the time when you would ask me the questions. Now, when exactly are you going to ask me the question so I don't have to worry about it anymore?
Well, being you're a grown man, have three of your own children, I can't tell you anything. You know it.
Okay, so we can put that in the past.
Rest
and
yes.
I think so.
You think so?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I can't tell you how I wondered when that day would come.
Me too.
Okay. Now, I want to play a short interview I did not too long ago with a special little girl talking about older people in general and her grandmothers in particular.
Lauren, at the original Pancake House. So what do you think about older people, Lauren?
I think old people are very nice, and I like helping them. Sometimes they can get a little cranky, but it doesn't bother me.
Why do you think they're cranky, Lauren?
Maybe because sometimes they're going through surgery, like with a pacemaker, and sometimes they don't have a husband, and they see other people with their husband, and they get mad, or they get sad.
So they might be lonely, or they might have things on their mind?
Yes.
Anything else you want to say?
Well, one of my grandmas, she isn't very old, but she's very fun to be with. She plays tennis, and she sometimes plays basketball with me. And my other grandma, she's older, but she can't do all that stuff, but she still plays cards and she does everything for me. I call her Bubby. Whenever I go there, she lets me watch TV, and I always feel comfortable at her house when I'm there. Sometimes if I wanted to go to like a crafty place, she might take me there, and I go to the beauty shop with her, and it's fun.
Well, thank you. That was very nice. You said some beautiful things about both your grandmas.
Now, we have in the studio today the tennis and basketball playing grandma. Now, are you acing all of your serves and slam dunking your neighbors into oblivion? And what other passions do you have?
No, I'm not doing that at all.
Now, how tall are you? Yeah,
I'm 5'2".
5'2".
And so I'm not slamming anyone.
You're not slam dunking.
I'm not doing overhead.
You're just fast.
I just love sports. I've always loved sports. And I'm thankful that I'm able to play them still at the ripe old age of 68. And I just keep going until I can't go anymore, and that's it.
Now, what other sports do you like?
I love baseball. I don't play it, but I love watching it, collecting cards. My favorite team, I'm sorry, Red Sox fans, is the New York Yankees.
Now, what kind of things do you do, Dad, besides the tennis?
Well, besides the tennis, I enjoy hobbies, and one of which is flying radio-controlled planes. I do that, and frankly, in the last few months, I haven't been doing it too much. We've just been too busy doing other things, and plus, I still am somewhat active in business. I'm a realtor in Florida, and I'm not actually actively looking for any new business, but if it comes to me, I don't turn it away. And aside from that, we just enjoy going out.
Why don't we take a short break and play a special song for my guests, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
Because of you, my romance had its start. Because of you, sun will shine, the moon and stars will say are mine forever and never to part.
Well, here I sit with my parents. My mom has tears in her eyes. That's a special song, Tony Bennett, Because of You. And I understand we have some callers, so let's take the call. You're on the air.
Why do old people retire?
Who is this?
Abigail Stahl.
Abigail Stahl.
Abigail, hi.
Hi, Abigail.
How you doing, honey? Why do people retire?
Why do older people retire? Is that what you asked, Abigail?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I guess because they get tired of doing the work they've been doing all their lives. Like if they work in an office or if they own a business, they're tired of doing it. They could have been doing it, let's say, for 25, 30, 40 years. And they say, oh, I think I'd like to spend my older years maybe fishing, going out on a boat, playing tennis. Golfing, that's a good thing, instead of going to my office all the time.
Okay, here's Grandpa. He's going to put in his two cents.
Well, Abigail, I think a lot of it has to do with being financially secure, and retiring doesn't mean that you're necessarily going to sit in a house and do nothing. It means that you have the ability to do whatever you want to do.
Okay, we have another caller now. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi. This is Lauren. Hi, Grandma. Hi, Grandpa.
Hi, Lauren.
How you doing?
What would you wish for?
If you had one wish, what would it be?
Well, Lauren, I think I have every wish. I have good health. I have a wonderful husband. I have wonderful sons, beautiful, beautiful grandchildren. So what would I possibly wish for?
I want to play a call that came in earlier from grandchildren that are now at a varsity high school football practice.
Mm-hmm.
And let's roll that right now, Jimmy.
Hi, Grandma and Grandpa. This is Dan. I'm just calling because you're on the show today. And when I'm with you, I enjoy being with you And Grandpa, I enjoy going deep sea fishing with you and flying the radio control airplanes. And Grandma, when I'm with you, I like to look at baseball cards and listen to your stories. Okay, I'll see you later. Love you. Bye. Hi, Grandma. Hi, Grandpa. This is your grandson, David. I have a question for you today. I just want to know what it feels like to be older. Kind of a weird question, but I'm young and I don't really know what it feels like. I think it's good that older people are being active and get out and do stuff. Okay, bye.
So they're those are my boys. They're they're working at making sure they don't get killed out on the football field, I guess. What about the question David asked? What do you think about getting older, and when did you first notice or feel that you were older?
Okay, I'll answer that. I haven't felt it yet, so I really don't know. I have a very active life. I have a physical life. I have a happy life. The only difference is when I look in the mirror, I'm not 15 anymore. But other than that, you know, I have gray hair. My hair is graying a little. But otherwise, physically and what I do is just like I would do when I was 15. Go out, I play ball, I come back, I shower. I have a wonderful life. And so I don't feel that I've hit old age yet. You know, people are always older. I don't never put myself in that because I don't feel it.
When we see people in our community who are older generation people, probably in our generation, maybe a little bit older, I always look at them as being older, whether they're my age or not. And I think a lot of it has to do with how you feel physically. You know, mentally, it's you have to keep a good mental attitude about everything. But I think if the genes are going to have it, you're going to be feeling, if you feel good physically, you will not feel old. I guess that's one of the main criterias. Because if you have debilitating diseases or debilitating physical problems that keep you from being active, then that's going to make you feel old pretty fast.
Or pain.
Or any pain, right? Yeah. That's why it's best to treat pain and not have it. You know, see a physician if you have pain. There's always a way of treating pain. And I think
we've been fortunate. And not be a martyr and suffer through.
Well, and many people assume that pain, when they have it, is just part of getting older.
No,
and there's nothing
no.
that could be done about it. That's
no.
what some people think.
I feel it's a total waste of a day if I spend it in pain. Whether I take some aspirins to relieve whatever may, you know, if I have a headache or whatever. But that day, you never get back. It's gone. And
let me ask you how you'd like to be remembered.
How I'd like to be remembered.
By family, by friends, by the world.
Oh, well, as a good person, as a giving person, as somebody that if they call on me, I'd be there for them. I would do my best for them. I love them. Close friends I love, my family, God, do I love them.
I just want to go through a few funny things that someone sent me as an email not too long ago. This is called What is a Grandparent? Taken from papers written by a class of 8-year-olds. Usually grandmothers are fat, but not too fat to tie your shoes. They can take their teeth and gums out.
Gums too,
that's right, they all come out. Everyone should try to have a grandmother, especially if you don't have television, because they are the only grown-ups who like to spend time with us. And the last one, which I think is the best one, a 6-year-old was asked where his grandma lived, and he said, oh, she lives at the airport. When we want her, we just go to get her. And when we're done having her visit, we take her back to the airport.
They pick her up at the airport.
All right. Now, Dad, how would you like to be remembered?
As a person, I try to do good. during their life. It didn't cause anybody any harm. Did more good than evil. I don't think there's anybody perfect in this world. I guess I'll always be remembered as the handyman of the block.
Of course, refused a penny.
I would like to end today's program with a little dinner music. That was Miss Dorothy Eshelman, 96 years young. I hope you enjoyed some of the highlights of the past 2 months' shows. Next week, in the studio live, will be Tom DeLowry and Miriam Callahan for a show dedicated to caregiving. See you then.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm sick?